Good evening to everyone. This is Reverend Commander, and this afternoon we will be studying John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, and we will discuss what happened in chapter 9 of John. As we get ready to go into the study this afternoon, would you please bow your head with me? Father God, we come this afternoon to say thank you. We come, Father God, giving you all the praise and the glory, Father God, because you're worthy to be praised. Father God, you've taken care of us, Father God, from there is a part of our lives up to this present time, Father God. We have to say thank you to you, Father God. Father God, bless, Father God, the study tonight, Father God, that your word, Father God, may come forth, Father God. It's not about me. It's all about you, Father God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For, Lord, you are my strength and you're my redeemer. Let everyone say amen. Again, good evening to you. I pray that everyone is well and that we are making the best. We are doing the best through this pandemic period as we keep ourselves safe and try to keep our family safe, that God will continuously bless us, that we hold on and that he will bless us in his time and in his season. As we look at chapter 9 of John, I will read the first 12 verses of John for you, and then we will go into the study part of it. And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, Master, why did sin? This man or his parents, that we was born blind. And Jesus never had this man sin, nor his parents, but that he worked of good, but the work of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day, and night cometh, whose no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he sat on the ground and made clay and splattered it, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpretation of sin. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is it not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said unto him, How were thy eyes opened? And he answered and said, The man that it is called Jesus made the clay and anointed my eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And he went and washed, and I received sight. Then he said unto him, Where is he? I will see. And he said, I know not. As we look at chapter 9 of St. John, we see here in St. John that this passage of John heightened the tension between Jesus and his fellow followers and the religious leader who despised him. In the prior chapter, chapter 8, Jesus confronted the hypocrites of those who claimed to understand the scripture, but who rejected what it said. He had also challenged tradition by healing on the Sabbath day. In this chapter, we will see that Jesus once again performed a miracle on the Sabbath day and resulted in no small controversy. When the dust settled, and the local religious looked through the embarrassment, not by Jesus, but by the man who had been healed. Chapter 9 here, church, Jesus passed by a man who had been blind his entire life. And the disciples react to the situation with a typical worldview of error, in that they ask Jesus, was it something that the man had done caused him to be blind? Or was it was the parents did something that caused this man to be blind? And so it is with us today as human beings and as individuals. When we see an individual that may be suffering or maybe in the same situation that this man was in, we are quick to ask the question, or he or she must be done something wrong because they have this going on within their lives. But who are we to ask that question? God can do, church, anything he feel like he need to do. God can use anybody he wants to use at any given time. So we have to be very cautious of how we put blame on people. God said, I'm God. And that if we want to ask the question why, let us ask God the question why this took place. But as the Pharisees went on, and you'll see in the scripture there that the Pharisees became a part of the situation, that they wanted to understand and know what was going on with this man. The healing is also prophetic. The Old Testament speaks of the promise one healing the blindness. If you read Isaiah 29:18 and 35 and 5, you'll see that in scripture. In all scripture, only Jesus is credited with miracle which gives us sight to the blind. This is not only a proof of his identity, it is symbolic that the way in which the Messiah grant understanding of the truth. If you read Matthew 11 and 5 and Matthew 12 and 22 and 23, we are seeing where Jesus did just what he said he would do. And Matthew 25 and 23, let us look at that if you would. And if you have your Bibles, please turn with me. And it says in chapter 6 of Matthew, verses 22 and 23, that the light of the body is the eye. And if therefore the eye is single, the whole body shall be filled full of light. But if the eye is evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness. From a spiritual vision, you know, our capacity to see clearly what God wants us to see in the world from a point of view. But this is a spiritual insight that can easily be clouded. Self-serving desire, interest, and goal blocking the vision. But serving God is the best way to restore it. The single eye is one that is fixed on God. And we see not only with this man, but with us as well, that we are walking around and we have sight to see, and we can see where we need to go. But the Bible also speaks about spiritual blindness. And it talks about blindness if we don't know God for ourselves. The scripture also said that as long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. When night cometh, then no one can work. Well, that tells us that, and that tells me that I can't stop serving God regardless of what comes before me. You can't stop serving God regardless of what comes before you. We have work to do. We have work that has been assigned to our hands that we must do. And in order for us to do it, we have to continue to listen to God. We have to continue to obey God and obey the will of the Lord. Light of the world. He's the only one, Jesus, that can give us the light that we need, that we can live a Christian life, church. And we have to keep our hands in God's hand. Because we live in a fallen world today where good behavior is not always rewarded, and the bad behavior not punished. Therefore, we see that the innocent people sometimes suffer. But if God took away the suffering, whenever we ask, we wouldn't follow him. We would only follow him for comfort and convenience and not out of love and devotion. So we have to follow God out of love and devotion. I'm reminded that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the scripture went on and said that after Jesus and the disciples were walking, and the disciple asked Jesus the question, who sinned, whether it was his parents or the man that sinned? And God said, neither one. So what God did, God spit on the ground and he mixed up the mud that he spit on and he placed it on the eye of the blind man. After placing the mud on the eye of the blind man, he went on and he told the man, said, go. Wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. Pool of Siloam sin. So the man went and he washed his eyes in the pool of Siloam, but he came back a different way. He went blind, but when he came back, hallelujah, he came back seeing. to God be the glory. So that let us know when we come in contact with God, we're never the same. When we come in contact with God, He changes our lives. He opens up doors for us. He keeps making a way for us. He keeps blessing us over and over again. He keeps being that bridge over troubled water for us. Just like the man went to the pool of Siloam and washed, got washed in his eyes, and he came back seeing, God does us the same way. He can clean us up that we will become new. Many of the Pharisees and the neighbors that had seen this man at the gate and that was begging, no doubt each and every day, they would come by him, and it's no more than that we see people that may be at the stop sign with a basket, with a container saying, homeless need help. And so often we turn our eyes and we turn our heads and look the other way and don't help those individuals. But God wasn't like that. God saw the man, and he saw that there was a need there to bless this man. And he blessed this man in a special way. Something that the man, I believe, no doubt in his heart, wanted to happen in his life. And that was to be able to see for himself. So when the man was asked a question by some of those neighbors that had seen him sitting there begging each and every day, and some said, is that the man? And some said, no, that's not the man. That's someone that looks like him. And when they built up enough nerve to ask the man, is this you that was sitting at the door that was begging each day? And the man said, I am that man. And many, because of their belief, didn't believe. And as the story went on, some asked the question, and some said, this sinner healed this man. Let me put a pin there. I believe, no doubt, in my mind that those that said the sinner healed this man did not have a relationship with God. Some said, this is not a sinner. This man was sent by God. And those individuals were starting to understand that wasn't a normal person, there wasn't an ordinary person could do what had just happened, made this man see. When we come in contact with the man named Jesus, we are never the same. He'll change the way we look. The way we talk, he'll change it. The way we love, he'll change it. The way you treat people, he'll change it. And the way you see others, he'll change it as well. He makes everything become new in our lives. The question was asked, how then were your eyes open? And the man called Jesus made some mud on the ground. He spit on the mud and he placed it on my eyes. And now I can see. So the man didn't change his story. I believe that they wanted to see whether this man was going to give them a different story from the first time that they asked the question. And this made the Pharisees kind of tone between, was this Jesus or was it not Jesus? But see, we have to know God for ourselves. We have to understand that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. And I'm paraphrasing it. For we ask for the smaller things from God, and God blesses us with the bigger things in life. Hallelujah, somebody. Because I can let my mind roll back and go back, and I wasn't a person, and I'm not a person that asked for a whole lot from God, and I'm not a person that desire a whole lot in life. Only thing I ask God is to keep me in perfect peace and keep my mind stayed on Him and allow me to help somebody else along the way. And I think all of us have some blindness in our lives when it comes to doing and to doing the will of God. Some of us also have some stubbornness in our lives, wherein God tells us to do one thing and we do something totally different. But this man, I think in him moving from the time that God put the mud on his eyes and placed it on his eyes and tell him to go to the pool of Siloam, started to develop a belief to know that God is able to do what he said he would do. And in between those two points, when he got there, I believe in my heart that God just touched his body and made his body whole. Have any of you ever allowed God to touch your body and you were made whole? Have any of you truly believed that God is able to change some things in your life that you thought that he wouldn't change? He's able to bless you in ways that you thought you wouldn't be blessed. But thanks be to God, he will bless you abundantly. We understand that John used the phrase, the Jews, as a reference to the Jerusalem religious leader and their most and their followers. It includes the scribes and the Pharisees who had already decided that Jesus is fraud and to be rejected. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't want Jesus to come and to be the one that actually more focus was placed on than them. And you have to understand that in this passage of scripture, the Pharisees said, you heal this man on the Sabbath day. And their Sabbath day during that time was a Saturday. And they rejected someone working on the Sabbath. But Jesus saw that there was a need to heal this man. So he healed this man. And so as the Pharisees realized that this wasn't no ordinary man that did this, they called the parents of this man and asked them, who was this that healed your son? And they said, I don't know. And they said, ask him. And when they said that, they said, he's able to give you an answer. He's old enough that he will give you an answer. And the man said, it was a man called Jesus. I need to repeat that again. It was a man called Jesus. He understood there was power in the name of Jesus. He understood there was power in Jesus. And that Jesus was able to heal him. Jesus will give us an opportunity to do those things he asks us to do. But we have to be obedient to his will and to his way. Jesus had already came and he already took away the obstacles of life. Because he died on the cross that you and I may have the right to the tree of life. And we are ultimately healed. Only thing we have to do and only thing God is asking us to do is to continue to put our trust in him and he'll see us through. And we have to, church, be obedient. This man didn't only gain physical sight. This man gained spiritual sight as well. You see Jesus for more than just a man. He saw Jesus as Jesus the Christ. He saw Jesus as the prophet that was sent by God. He saw him as Lord and Savior of his life. In my closing, let us not walk in darkness. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us continue to do the will of God who sent us, that we can go out and we can tell men, women, boys, and girls that we know a man that says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be with us even to the end of time. He's the great revelator, and he gives sight to the blind, and he is the light of the world. In my leaving, the takeaway for this is that regardless of what reason for your suffering, Jesus has the power to help you deal with it.
I
know.
He's my big brother Will.
Continue to be blessed, continue to love God, and continue to trust God. Bow your heads to prayer. Most gracious Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God, for being God in our lives. Continue to bless us as we go through this pandemic period. Keep us safe, Father God. Bless Poplar Spring. Bless our Pastor Freeman. Just have your way in our lives. We're so careful. We give you all the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.